welcome to this edition of DCS Talks, a podcast production of the Tennessee Department of Children's Services. The intention of DCS Talks is to promote dialogue among child welfare professionals, foster parents, and the entire community about ways to prevent child abuse and neglect.
I'm Serena Wilson, a training manager at DCS, and I'm your host for this edition. In this episode of DCS Talks, I'm interviewing Melina Smith, the program manager of the Foster Home Quality Team here at the department. If there are ever concerns about a foster home, that home may be investigated by a special investigation unit. Part of the process of the investigation includes the case is reviewed by a group of child welfare professionals to help make determinations about the foster home that could be in question when concerns have arose. We are glad to have Melina Smith with us today to explain this process and let our community know more about the Foster Home Quality Team and ways to understand it and where to get information. Hello, Ms. Smith, and welcome to DCS Talk.
Hi, Serena, and hello, everybody.
We're really glad to have you with us. I know that you've been the program leader with the Foster Home Quality Team for a number of years. Tell us about some of your experiences in child welfare and about your role as the Foster Home Quality Team Program Manager.
Hey, yes, I'm so excited to be here. I have been with the department for roughly 13 years now. I first served as Child Protective Services Investigator and Assessor for 6 years, and I am now coming up to my 7th year here at Central Office as Program Coordinator and now Program Manager for the Foster Home Quality Team.
We often think about being in a foster home being a safe placement for children that come into foster care. However, there is a process in place that investigate concerns about a foster home. We have an entire unit that would look into that called the Special Investigations Unit. If you could please let our listeners know, what are some of the concerns that we might investigate in a foster home?
There are times that we get some concerns or some allegations regarding inappropriate discipline, lack of supervision. For example, like medication being left out that is unsecured, that's against DCS policy. So there are often times that the children that are in our care have experienced significant trauma. So they may have pretty significant behaviors, which could ultimately result in a child having a safety plan put in place. And the safety plan may or may not be followed. And that could potentially come to a supervision concern, especially if there are other children in that home that may also have significant behaviors.
Just to clarify, at the department, we have a discipline policy where we do not spank or conduct corporal punishment with children. All foster parents are asked at the very beginning of their journey if they agree with the discipline policy. However, there may be times when a parent may use punishment, discipline, and that would be breaking policy. Are those things that you may encounter?
Yes, it could be something as small as a regular parent, biological parent popping the child on the bottoms or like a tap on the hand, anything small like that. That could potentially trigger a child who has experienced past trauma, which is why we have that discipline policy to ensure that our children who have experienced trauma don't continue to receive any maltreatment while they are in a foster home.
Thank you for that clarification. You mentioned children who may have behaviors associated with trauma and a safety plan in place, and you can think of maybe a child has learned how to bite another person, and that may be related to a trauma behavior, and they may have a safety plan in place. In a foster parent home, another child bites another child, that may warrant an investigation.
Yes, and that would just have to be investigated to ensure that it wasn't an adult who had bitten the child. So it's not to say that the foster parent bit the child, but is to verify or to at least assess for safety and ensure that an adult did not cause that injury or that bite to the child.
So there are a lot of different ways that special investigation units may look into a foster home if there are ever any concerns, even more severe concerns. And so tell us about the process of the foster home quality team.
The process of the foster home quality team is that we would receive notification that there's an active investigation involving a foster home. If it meets criteria for the home to be suspended, then we'll suspend admissions. So that means that the foster home cannot accept any additional placements. That's not to say that the current placements are to leave the home, but that's to say that there are no additional placements to be placed in the home. And that's to include respites or overnights, emergency placements. Once we suspend admissions, then the SIU investigation takes place. So they go out and they investigate. Upon SIU completing their investigation is when we receive the summary of the investigation, and that case is reviewed thoroughly. So we'll check to see if there's any concerns or what the classification is on that investigation. Not all of those investigations are reviewed in our weekly FHQT call. If there were no concerns noted, then we can go ahead and we'll lift the suspended admissions, and then that home is ready to accept placements.
The foster home quality team sees more of the cases that are not as clear cut.
Yeah, so the foster home quality team is a committee of members that are from various units within the department, and we have a weekly phone call every Thursday. So that phone call is where we discuss the cases that were classified with concerns. So if SIU determined that something happened in this home or something needs to be addressed, maybe a corrective action plan needs to be put in place, then FHQT will review it and we'll discuss how we need to move forward with this foster home to ensure that it's safe for additional placements. So the suspended admissions won't be lifted immediately. We'll review it and we'll discuss what action steps need to be taken place.
And tell me a little bit about who makes up the team.
So we have SIU, of course. SIU will give us the summary of what happened in the home. We have a regional representative. So each region has an FHQT representative. And this is the staff member that goes out and talks to the RPS worker or the FSWs to tell them, hey, there was an SIU investigation on this home. What are your thoughts? Did you have any concerns? What has been your interaction or your observation with this child or with this foster home? And then we also have nursing. We have foster care. We have network development. We have training. And we have, of course, the foster parent advocate. And she sits in these meetings just to ensure that we are not violating the foster parent's rights. The foster parent advocates are also allowed to be in the SIU process. So that's why we have an advocate in the FHQT meeting so that they know and they're also informed of what the decision is. And we have a legal representative if needed. So this is an internal call. It's DCS only.
It's awesome that there are so many different disciplines at the table. So you have training, you have legal, you have sometimes nursing, and that foster parent advocate so that they are looking out for the rights of the foster parent on that foster home quality team. It's very multidisciplinary, so a lot of different perspectives.
Very much so, because everyone brings something to the table when we're discussing these cases, when we're looking to see, well, is it more so child specific, or is it something that we need to address with this foster home, or like what? So it is very helpful to have, like you said, different members from the department with different backgrounds to help us make these decisions, because it's not just Melina Smith making these decisions. There's all these individuals that come to the conclusion of what's going to happen or what should take place.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You know, a child could have some very complicated medical directions, and maybe a foster family is having trouble following all the medical issues. And so you have a nurse there to say, how can we support them? What's in the best interest? Do we need to up the level of the child? Those types of things.
Yeah. And one of the reasons why we have a regional representative is so that the region has the voice and the region can come and tell us, well, these are the specific needs for this child. And then also with the RPS worker, this is what is going on in this home. And so we have the region's voice in the decision making as well.
Yeah, that's great. So a lot of plans can come out of that foster home quality team to ultimately we want to keep the child with the foster family to reduce disruptions or how many times the child moves. However, there may be times when it's not a good fit, where there's a clear break of discipline policy or of the safety plan. So could you maybe tell us about some of the different potential outcomes that could occur with a foster family as a result of this process?
So if it's a, like you mentioned, if it's a policy violation, it's going to be an immediate request to sign a performance improvement plan. Or if we see that this specific child that is in this home may need a little more safety parameters put in place, and we'll request a safety plan to be updated. The reason why we have training is because training can also listen to what those allegations were or listen to what the concerns were that SIU noted and make additional recommendations for the foster parent to just get a little more training. It could have been very child specific and nothing that the foster parent was at fault, but maybe this foster parent could benefit for additional training with children who have experienced sexual trauma, something like that. Or maybe this foster parent needs a little more training on therapeutic interventions or some training on how to follow a safety plan. Not all foster parents have children who have safety plans or who are in need of safety plans. And so that's one of the things that we have been seeing with the foster home quality team is that not all children have safety plans, and foster parents may not know at the front end that this child is in need of a safety. So here we come with an investigation, and unfortunately, this child needs a safety plan. So foster parents, here's a training on how to follow those safety
plans. Okay, so we want to support foster parents in understanding behavior, understanding DCS policy, understanding safety plans, and we have a lot of ways to offer those support. Unfortunately, you know, we don't want to focus on negative outcomes, but it, you know, if indeed a foster parent loses his or her cool and uses punishment discipline in a way that is very clear-cut and harmful to the child, may result in the foster home being closed for a period of time. Is that correct?
That could be one of the outcomes. It could be that the department is no longer interested in continuing to place our children in this home. And that is after we have either attempted to address previous issues, or this one incident, just like you said, it was just point blank, complete violation of the policy. And this child that we trusted them with, that is residing in their home or was living with them, has now experienced additional trauma. And so with that, then the department is no longer interested. And so we will either send the notification to their contract agency, or then the region will make the decision to close off if it's a DCS.
Okay. So thank you for that. We do want to encourage foster parents to say, hey, things happen, we've got some support. However, there are some non-negotiables that will definitely result in their home being closed in order to protect the child and other children.
Correct.
Thank you. You've already mentioned that we may put in some peer support or some mentoring with foster parents and training to help home stay in good standing. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely an option that we use.
There's oftentimes that we also do ask what their support system is like, because foster parents need a break. We do check to see what their household, like how many children are living in their home. And it's not just our custodial children, but it could be that they're overwhelmed and that they need a break. So sometimes having that support system in place and us knowing that they are also taking care of themselves helps us when we're making these decisions.
And we want to facilitate the self-care of our foster parents, because many of us are parents and we know how hard it is to raise children.
It is a full-time job. Being a parent is a full-time job, but being a foster parent, it adds more responsibility, because these children come with trauma. These children are hurting. These children just want to be loved, whether or not they show it with aggression or sexualized behavior. Like they're still children at the end of the day. So I'm definitely being a foster parent is a lot harder than being a regular biological parent, because you know your child. With being a foster parent, you're caring for somebody else's child.
Yes. And things happen sometimes. You can be the most attentive parent ever, and then you look and your child is playing with his Windex or whatever. And
and things happen. And so when we're reviewing these cases, we know accidents happen, and you know, you cannot supervise a child 24/7. But it's when it's coming to the concern is when it's just a blatant disregard for following a safety plan, for ensuring that the children are safe.
For our foster parents, we ask them to ensure that all medications are locked and out of the way of the children in their home, as are firearms.
And cleaning supplies as well.
And cleaning supplies.
That's something I learned while being in this position. I would have never thought to put up Windex or put up just regular Lysol, but that's another item that the SIU does check out when they're going.
As a foster parent, you're kind of held to even a higher standard, in terms of keeping those items away from children in foster care. Sometimes I'm sure that there may be a disagreement, even among DCS representatives on the foster home quality team. Maybe the region feels one way and the nurse feels a way, and then the other members of the team feel one way about the outcome. What are some ways that those differences in perspectives are handled?
If the outcome is simply additional training or some plans or installing of alarms or something simple like that, it could be discussed within the meeting, and we would just need the regional representative to kind of give us what their proposal would be, a presentation of what safety would look like in this home moving forward. However, if the decision was for the home to close, then it goes two different ways. If the foster home was a provider foster home, so like Centerstone, Camelot, Youth Villages, then that agency would request a secondary review. They would send us a written notice within 10 business days of us sending them the notification that we're no longer interested to utilize this home, for them to request a secondary review. But if it's a DCS region and the DCS region is not in agreement for this home to close, it's kind of the same situation where they would request a secondary review, but those secondary reviews are held differently. An agency secondary review is the agency and the central office members and the regional representatives. And we also request the regional directors to be a part of those meetings. And what we're going to do in that meeting is just discuss the concerns that led us to make the recommendation and review the proposed plan that the agency will put in place. And it's basically the agency's opportunity to advocate for this foster family and explain why this foster family should continue to foster parent. Foster parents do not participate on that call, but their agency would be the one to advocate. We do welcome foster parents to send us a letter to kind of tell us what happened, to tell us their reason for wanting to continue to foster. So that secondary review with the agency is with central office and the regional representatives and the regional directors. But if it's a DCS, then the deputy commissioner and assistant commissioner would be the ones overseeing the secondary review with central office and the regions.
It's good to know that there is a difference in opinion, that there's a process. First, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to explain some of the basics of the foster home quality team. It's definitely something that is important to DCS, but not everyone's aware of the foster home quality team.
Yeah, I'm glad that I could give some clarity. Some people still call it the green team. Some providers still do. It's the same thing. Ultimately, we're just assessing for safety when foster homes come to our attention. Not all foster homes come to our attention. If they come to our attention, it's because there was some type of concern that was raised.
If our listeners are interested in learning about the foster home quality team at the department, where would they look for that?
Yeah, so the protocol for FHET is in Policy 16B. So listeners can just go to the website, tennessee.gov. to and look for the policies and procedures, and then just search for FHUT, and they'll be able to pull it up.
Fantastic. And so if the public is interested in looking at that, it is there for them. Thank you so much, Melina, for your work. And thank you for sharing this information with our listeners and doing this often unnoticed, but it is very important.
Yes, work. Thank you so much.
With the foster home quality team. Please listen again to hear other subject matter experts like Melina Smith discuss ways to advocate for children and build resilient communities.